Right on. Good morning, everybody. JR Strain Cannabis here, Jim Strain. We finally made it to Las Vegas last night. Season 1, episode 1 of our podcast. I decided, what better place in Las Vegas to come and do this? There goes my boys right now in their TRX truck making hell. We're here at FOS headquarters, Las Vegas, Nevada, some lighting experts. So episode 1, we're going to talk about LED lights, and we're going to talk about some professionals. So let's go in and say hi to the boys. Here we are at FOS headquarters. It's awfully quiet. We're gonna sneak around and see who we can find. Let's go down the hall. Who can we, Zach? Let's go. First off, presence office. So come on in.
Right on, Ben. Good morning, buddy. What's up, thanks, guys? For having us down.
Jimmy Strain. Come on, brother. Good to see you, man. Bring it in.
You too. Here we go. We got the president of FOS right here, you guys. Awesome. Lucky for us. We're gonna take a quick walk through the showroom floor. I'm gonna ask him a few questions about their company and LED lighting. Can you show us your beautiful displays?
Let's go. Yeah, let's head to the showroom.
What questions do you got for me, Jimmy?
Well, you know, the first and foremost one is, why LED? I mean, I'm an old school grower. I've been growing my whole life. We, you know, HID lighting. So metal halides, HPS, were the kind of the norm out there. You guys obviously started an LED company.
Yeah. So I actually started growing with HPS. Right. My business partner, Brett Stevens, and I were involved in one of the first medical licenses here in Las Vegas. And we had a cultivation license. So with that, we were using HPSs, struggling, trying to use those 500 degree light bulbs in the desert. We started testing Fluence and what are the other lights? Lumitex. Some companies aren't around anymore, but we're testing all these different LEDs, and they're not like holding a candle to HPS, and we're having to raise and lower lights, and it was just a nightmare. Amen. So during that period, in all of our frustrations, one of my friends from high school, robotics laser engineer, reached out, missile guidance systems, very smart guy. He'd been designing LEDs. We worked together for a little bit, put together what we thought was going to be the end-all be-all of the HPS era, and we built the lights ourselves, put them in our grow, and we saw insane growth in plants. People, like plants from the other side of a table, were growing sideways into the lights, and a couple more growers replicated it with the prototypes, and from there, we did a quick pivot. We found out we could sell more lights in one city than we could sell weed with that entire cultivation facility, so we immediately flipped and went down the pick and shovel path. 3 years, heads down, R&D'd every diode, every grade of aluminum, power supply on the planet, and came up with the A3i.
That was your first.
That was a flagship model A3i, multiple spectrums for different stages of plant growth, intensities that could be dimmed up and down, bigger footprint, half the amount of lights needed to outfit a room, everything you'd want to see.
And let me just add to that, A3i's is what we got in our facility. So we got 404 of these babies. So the guy, he's the man with the plan. We're the ones with the product. And it's a fair statement, everything says about that. But as you can see in your showroom, you just got a lot of lighting.
A lot of lights. So yeah, soon found out the A3i was very powerful and only good for a certain scenario. High bay, single tier lighting.
Fair.
Didn't fit in racks, didn't make sense. Then we went to rack lighting systems. A much smaller, more compact unit, more bars for increased uniformity in smaller areas. Again, a lot of people will overstep or overthink uniformity. It's one of the biggest things when it comes to lighting. It's what makes sure your irrigation systems are, like, you're watering the right amount of water to the plants. It's all based on how much light is coming to the plant. So if you have 1200 in the center, 800 on the outsides, 800s are getting overfed, the middles aren't getting fed enough, and there's like maybe 30% of your plants getting the right amount of water to the represented light level.
You're right, so exactly. I mean, with people who hand water, maybe that's great.
You go down, you can fucking, you can baby your plant
and stuff. But let's talk reality. In a commercial system, we're not hand watering. We're not doing this. We want uniformity. That's so a really excellent.
Yeah. So the A3i is, you know, you keep that thing 4, 5, 6 feet from the canopy, and you'll be fine, which is what we built it for.
But okay.
Six bars, and we have 8-bar units for when you're a little closer, but we had more bars, increased uniformity.
Is that the F1V?
F1V and the Pisces are all 6 and 8 bar lights.
Yeah, beautifully.
And then we came up with the greenhouse fixtures. Soon we found out that all of our big barred light systems were blocking too much sunlight in greenhouses, which is completely defeats the purpose of having a greenhouse if you're just going to make it a hybrid indoor. What we did is we came up with single bar units and a one-to-one quick easy replacement 06i, which has also been one of our more popular indoor units. Some people started putting them indoors.
And so when you say one-to-one, it will match the power requirements for a Gavita 1000, for example. They don't have to rewire.
Yeah, you don't have to rewire. It does have a little more juice if you really want to start blowing out your yields and everything else. Okay. We do have an 850-watt unit that will keep you about, obviously right out the gate, 15% reduction in overall wattage for lighting. But because, here it is right here, because we use polycarbonate lensing and a watt or a diode is just more efficient at producing PPFD than a HPS bulb, we're still getting about 15% more light to the canopy with 15% less actual wattage. So a lot of cost savings. The guys who are using it are seeing 15 to 20% increases in yields, which is phenomenal.
Yeah.
And the unit's, you know, like $800. So it's under $1 a
watt. They pay for themselves with that yield increase.
First run.
First run almost, really, is you're paying for your light. That's the kind of stuff I liked in the black market days.
Yeah, right. So it's been a wild ride.
You talked about the lensing. So this was one of the biggest reasons, or one of the things I'm a big fan of with my A3Is is that lensing. So I talk about optics. I'm a big sunglass guy. I know camera lensing. You know, optics are important when you're talking about light.
Mm-hmm.
Putting light through a good optic to focus your beam scatter realistically, right?
Yep.
What's your degree?
So depends on the fixture. We've used 90 to 120.
Okay.
Most of the time we're using 120. And again, if you're using, like even this fixture right here does not have any lensing on it. Again, more greenhouse scenario.
Right.
You want some larger throw of light. But when we start actually looking at how we want to put light to and through the canopy, these polycarbonate lenses do a phenomenal job at actually directing light instead of just letting it shoot out at 180
degrees.
So
we're talking about penetration here.
Penetration and just if you're going to use this entire diode and all the power that comes out of this diode, you don't want to get, your walls don't need light.
Fair.
You're not trying, there's nothing growing on your walls. Everything's on the table. So if we're not putting light anywhere but the table, it's wasted energy. So
that's right.
It just helps us, again, keep the energy efficient on how we're putting light to the canopy. And then, as you just said, we use spectrum to get through the canopy as well as the lensing. So having hyper red, far red diodes, full spectrum, all make a huge difference on actually getting those lower bud formations that everyone's kind of looking for.
So programmability, like on my A3Is, everybody, I got a nice, you know, spring, summer, fall spectrum that I utilize throughout the different phases of grow, obviously from cloning. We're using that spring through the early veg, but upon flip, you know, moving into summer to get more red spectrum, which is a more powerful photon of light that carries more energy in the red. We also have the F1V series, which is a 600 watt, and these are right here lined up behind us. So that's a single spectrum light, correct?
Single spectrum, yep. So that was another way that we were able to make the units much more affordable, and because we were just seeing people using them in flower rack situation, veg rack situation, it made it really easy for us just to make one whites and blues for veg, add the hyper red, far reds, and make it a full broader spectrum for flower. We had tremendous success with that. We did, obviously, we get requests for everything. So we had people say, hey, I want the A3i in a racking system, make it happen. And what we did is we came up with the Scorpio, which is a 1,000-watt four bar version, basically just a 1,000-watt A3i. And that actually fits perfectly in Pip, Montel, Roglide, anyone's 4x8 little rack scenario, and then they have all the customability, controllability features of a...
That's a Scorpio?
Yep, and it's actually in some racks right there with cactus underneath it.
Very nice. I like them because they're like the cute little baby brother to my A3Is.
Yeah, yeah, and then you got the super tiny little brother.
Oh, that's the Aries. That's a cuter model like that.
Cuter model.
So, hey, let's talk about... I want to talk about something you touched on real quick was, again... Let's get it done. So I'm going to tell you a story that I had when I bought my F1Vs, 600 watt, get them, and originally these lights would shut off at 31% power.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm cloning with these, and I found they're way too strong at 31% for my clones.
Mm-hmm.
So I phoned my rep, probably talked to you, and then got on the phone with Alex Troy.
Yep.
Alex, Jimmy, how can we fix this for you? Head controller sent to me that he modified, that go down to 11%.
Yeah, yeah, and it's always stuff like that. Anytime we get a grower that has an issue, or even just a, hey, it'd be really cool if your lights did this,
we immediately start, we bring, like you said, to Alex, he's our CTO, and within a couple of weeks, we'll already have preliminary designs ready to go. If we have to write software, we've added temperature sensors to our lights, so if the room gets above 90, the lights drop to 30%.
Yeah.
We've just done everything we could based off of pains or frustrations or headaches that growers are actually experiencing every day. If you can add little pieces, I mean, even like, even as simple as making the bars adjustable to go to the other side of the canopy, or the fact that these lenses keep the light to the plants and out of the grower's eyes. They're like, I actually enjoy working with these more because they're not constantly blasting.
I also enjoy working with them in the toxicleanability. So when I've done a harvest, bro, I have a CD1 ozone cart that blasts ozonated water. So I can spray them down, disinfect, clean in one step, with zero residue, zero chemical residue left behind. We're not wiping anything on the lenses, you know, so.
Yeah, you can never actually physically touch the diodes, and that is a huge benefit. Again, it makes it so we can pressure wash these things. You can spray them with anything you need to disinfect them if you have mold, mite mildew, or aphids breakout or something.
I believe they're an IP67?
Yep, IP67. We have some units that are all the way up to IP68 rated. And again, another huge thing that that is going to do, it's going to keep spectral integrity through every clean, because you're not wiping the diodes. Again, it's just human error. When other lighting companies don't have lenses, they're going to say they have a coating over it, which they do. But that coating can be rubbed off with your thumb. Yeah. So first time you wipe those down, I wouldn't be surprised if you're going to see diodes flicker, switch change, and then you're very soon going to start seeing, after three or so cleans, you're going to see different lights looking like they're putting down different spectrums.
I did a video. You guys sent some people up to our facility and you toured it, and we're really happy. We're happy to have you guys up there and saw how clean our facility is. And I did a video. It was kind of funny. It was talking about reliability of my F1Vs. Mm-hmm. And I was maybe at a loss for words at the time. I said, they're really reliable, like a nice, reliable pickup truck. That's what I said. But honestly, that's a fair statement. I haven't had one issue with one of those F1Vs at all. I mean, we've been clocking them for a couple of years now, and zero issues. That thing's a bulldog.
Yeah, I always tell people, don't sleep on the F1Vs. Everyone always gravitates towards the A3i, just all the cool stuff it does and the power. And
that's what I mean.
It tests you as a grower because you've got a lot of power to play with. But I'm like, man, I've had people grow just as much because a lot of it's cultivar dependent. Underneath a 1,000-watt F1V, and again, it has the lowest failure rates out of all of our units. All of our units are less than 1%, but the F1V, we've put up 1,400 in one install and not had a single failure.
Yeah, I believe
so. It's nice. It's a great unit.
And literally in my mother plant room, I kind of made the same error. However, I had some future foresight of the mother room could be turned into a full-on production room, so I put A3Is in my mother room.
Yeah, but not, at least you can just change them to spring and you're good to go, though.
I run them at 50. I run them at 50% all the time or less, right, in my mother room. However,
those lights will last forever, though, because you're only running them at 50%.
They'll last forever. I can utilize that spectrum change, and I do the spring and summer for absolutely within the mother room. But if we ever expand our facility, that room can be converted to a production room just like that. It's an aeroponic full.
Yeah, you're just basically changing the lighting schedule and you've got a production.
Correct. So it's already built as a full production room, but it's a mother room, so that's great. So that being said, in retrospect, if I was going to do it again, I would probably put in 1,000-watt F1Vs in there over the A3i, but no regrets. I went for the best. And that's what our facility's got, a whole bunch of A3Is, a whole bunch of F1Vs. Kind of last question is, can we talk about your warranty?
Yeah. So we do a 5-year warranty. If there's any issue with the light, we send you a new one. You put the old one in the box, send it back. We have a guy in the back that repairs them.
Yep.
We don't get many, so he's not too busy. We've only got one guy doing it, basically, or two now.
Yeah.
But he puts it together, goes in a little pile for test light fixtures, and then as soon as we get a call that someone wants to test a fixture, or hey, I'm interested in a room, whatever, we've got
a refurbished
unit, or maybe like 10 of each that someone can go grab one and
for sure
give the sales guy some extra tools to play
and
with.
What about maybe any future? I was coming in, at your FYI, birthday boy here yesterday went to a lovely birthday lunch. It was amazing.
Fun.
It was fun.
Yeah, you showed up and
we got the floral shirts on. We were all Hawaiian.
Mai-tied out.
And we kind of started talking business as we usually do at these events. And programmability, it got some new stuff coming up working with software, I understand.
Yeah, so we got some pretty cool stuff coming up. It's not very early stage because We're actually testing in the back. We have our photometric
booth
back there doing all of our testing on it. But essentially, what we're going to do is give people more access to the spectrum, more tunability. We're going to come with presets that we've tested and approved, but then we're going to have basically giving you the red key, the red eye red key for the Dodge Hellcat is what we're giving that now. Is you can change the spectrum to anything you want. You can dial it in any way you want, but you're going to get a warning that says, hey, this is out of our
recommendations.
This is out of our recommendations.
So I suggest I'm going to throw at your team that kind of something that I'd like to tinker with as a grower is within one day, within a light period, a little bit of tunability that's maybe emulates nature. For example, high noon sun here in Vegas, about 11 a.m. till 3 p.m. shed is, Cal or 100% power, maybe summer spectrum. Mm. Maybe I want an hour or two at 35% in spring.
Yep.
And at the end of the day, some fall. So that might be something that you might be able to incorporate in as well.
So we've started talking about a scheduling program where we can actually start having the lights turn on and then slowly start turning down throughout the room. So we've got a guy that does it. He's got it set up on all these different controllers. Mm-hmm. For each table, which is kind of a pain in the ass, lack of a better term. But what he's doing is he's literally mimicking nature, like the sun coming up, and where this row of lights turns on first, 30 ramps up, and then this one turns on, and this one turns on, and it peaks, and then it shuts down too. Yeah. And he's had tremendous success with it, so now it's just trying to figure out how we can.
Sure, because what I think I've noticed is, course, you're familiar with the term DLI.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I've noticed, especially with my A3Is, is that on an 18-hour cycle, that's a lot of DLI.
If you're
running at 80%. So maybe I was thinking, hey, I could program these to be less powerful in the morning, get that still burst to high power,
and then
dim them back down. Mm-hmm. And playing with spectrum maybe within that as well. Mm-hmm. So this is cool. That's what I love about the innovations going on here. This is why we chose Fost Lighting for our aeroponic facility. We are a very high-tech facility. We are a pure aeroponic facility using Essence Aeroponics. It's not easy to run aeroponics. But we chose and coupled this aeroponic platform with the best LEDs that I could find out there in the world. And this drives massive growth rates. We have a prodigious.
I love seeing your guys' content come out where the root cakes are like the size of a human being.
Yeah, they're root blankets. They're massive blanket of roots. Well, I mean, it's definitely what people are interested in because everyone's seen a million and million bud pictures.
There's a lot more to the plant than just the buds and the fan leaves.
And a lot of people are jealous that they can't see what's going on in their root zone. I mean, they think they know what's going on in there. We put sensors in there and say, tell us what's happening moisture-wise. But I can look at my roots every day.
Yeah.
Looking at root growth, maintaining healthy roots drives that phenomenal growth rate of the plant, right? And of course, all those levers at once. You got to raise your CO2. You got to raise your lighting power, the spectrums, the ECs, the pHs. I mean, all these things are levers that we've got to raise at the same time. There's no one magic formula, everybody. There's no, you're not going to come in here and buy an A3I and crush out 9 pounds of light.
Yeah, no, it's a lot more than just that. I kind of compare it to, hot rodding. You can't take a 50-year-old Chevy, a Camaro, whatever your dream muscle car may be, take out a 350 engine, throw in a twin-turbo 1,000 horsepower engine and not expect to change the transmission, the clutch, the brakes, the front end, the rear end.
Stiffen the chassis.
Everything has to be changed. So it's the same thing in a grow room. If you put in light, if you went from 1,000 PPFD to 1,500 PPFD for number six, you're going to need more dehumidification. You're going to need more watering. Your plants are going to be hungry for more nutrients. There's a lot more that goes into it than just throwing new lights in and keeping all systems the same. You're gonna need more CO2. With more photosynthesis requires more control of your environment, your feeding, of everything else. So it does sound scary when you start talking about retrofits and what am I gonna need? How's this gonna change my current setup? But we've got a really impressive staff of horticulturists who have done this journey multiple times in any setting, single, multi, greenhouse, doesn't matter. We've done it successfully. Aeroponic, aquaponic, living soil, organics, we've done it all. And we will help dial in your system. We will tell you if you need more dehues, HVAC, feeding systems. We have water engineers. If you need genetics, we'll help you source those. It's a lot more than just being the lighting guy, because for us to be successful, guys like Jimmy have to be successful. Yeah. And the only way we do that is coupling phenomenal technology with second to,
phenomenal growers, phenomenal
incoming. Customer service it's second to none. It has to be coupled with that same technology. Well, so
listen, y'all won't get invited to his birthday party, but I did.
You might buy a couple thousand lights and you'll get the invite.
hang out with these boys. You might get invited to the birthday party for Ben. But if you don't, I still recommend you stick with the best LED lighting company on the planet. Know your grow, get some good talent, surround yourself with good, knowledgeable people, and you're going to get there.
100%.
Right on. Thanks, brother.
Always.
Appreciate you. Let's go talk to some of these horticultural experts that he's got on the staff here. We've got Jeremy and Mike Howard. Again, I'm going to use the term master grower because it's going to piss him off.
I was like, oh, we're going to use that one, huh?
Oh, yeah. No, we had a big thing about this in our yesterday session, but the master grower term is a Canadian douchey thing, but it's literally labeled in Health Canada parameters that on-site you have to have a master grower and assistant master grower.
That's funny.
So it's like a title that has to be held just like quality assurance person or role that's essential.
That is so funny. Yeah.
So we get the shit from the boys here at Master Grower. I'm like, yeah, but there's master carpenters, master electricians,
yeah,
a master scuba instructor.
Yeah, they just got a weird, the master grower name got a bad taste to it, I guess, in the California market, because everyone was saying, I'm a master grower, I got this certificate.
Oh, university.
And then they would just be horrible at growing. And they're like,
sure, I went to college and got a master grower certificate in 6 months. Yeah,
so it was very funny to see in the beginning of cannabis, all the master growers and some of the best growers I ever met were just like some of the guys.
I'm still learning. I've been at this 36 years, 32 years in the other market and 4 in this market, and I'm still learning.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no such thing as you've mastered it.
No, especially right now. We haven't even tapped into the full potential of the plant. I mean, the genetics, everything. There's still so much we're learning.
Well, I definitely see that with certain number of my genetics, which ones can really take those A3Is and then which ones can't.
Mm-hmm.
Which is
why they're nice to be tuned up and down, and it allows you to kind of push the plants, find that breaking point, and go, okay, we're going to dial back 10%.
That's exactly what we're doing, is pushing those genetics and then using the A3I at least. You know what? I'm not raising or lowering them ever. I allow that.
Yeah.
I hate raising and lowering lights, especially when you have 400 of them to do. So set them, forget them. They're at a certain height. I run them about 4 feet off canopy. I just ramp up the power or dim them down. And that's how I achieve the PPFD for each genetic.
Way easier than raising individual lights just to go like this with your finger.
Well, they're not exactly light either, bro.
No, they're not. Again, that's why we had to make sure you couldn't.
I mean, what are you going to come and fucking hold them all for me while I raise them?
I've done my fair share of installs and I refuse to do anymore. Because
there you go.
I mean, if you want nice shoulders, dude, you start lifting a couple A3Is.
Oh, just hold them all day long.
Dude, it's intense. We actually had a crew. We hired a bunch of big Samoan guys who were security guards from all the nightclubs here in town.
Oh,
and
for
the local Las Vegas guys.
For
we'll do your install for them. So we bring all these big fucking security guards over. And I mean, even they were like, God damn, I don't go to the gym today. I'm like, no, you're going to be good. And I'm going to feed you. I'm like,
well, I mean, what
you're
going to
be sore.
Them, baby?
It's about 75 pounds
there
per A3i.
75.
And again, phenomenal unit. It's probably the best thing you can put in your grow if you're doing a ground up build.
Yeah.
We did run into issues though with the retrofits because it's a 6x6 footprint. You have unit struts set up for 4x4 fixtures. It ends up being a lot more work. So that's why we actually came up with easy 1-to-1 replacement units, the same weight, 20 pounds, 850 watts. It'll literally outperform your 1000 watt HPS every day of the week. And it's under $800. So it's like, you can't even beat that.
No changing bulbs.
No changing bulbs.
No shattered glass.
Don't change your feeding schedules. Don't change anything. You can literally put this light up and it's basically dummy proof. Like, it is so awesome.
Damn. Well, shit, folks, doing it right. Look at this office space. Look at this showroom floor, you guys. We're happy to leave Canada, come down to Vegas for this podcast, see some good friends, have some good fun. And it just so happened we lucked out for Ben's birthday.
Worked out.
That really worked out. That wasn't planned, but this is Vegas. You roll with the punches. But here we are. Still living, still kicking.
Oh yeah.
All right, man.
We'll make it.
We're gonna go find these other guys. Thanks a lot, Ben, for giving us your expertise.
Thanks, Jay.
Always a pleasure. We're gonna go find it out. We're gonna go find Jeremy and Mike Howard. Yeah. I have a feeling I know where they are. But we might be ready to hit the pause button. Oh, here we go. Hey, fellas, what's up? We just finished a nice session with Ben, your president.
How's
he recommended
going,
we come and bug you and talk to you guys a little bit.
Good idea. Let's go smoke a joint.
Go to Treasures.
Let's go to Treasures.
That's a... no, Treasures is, you know, is a grow store where they sell nutrients. They sell foliar feeding stuff. Treasures for cannabis butts.
Treasures.
So it is a Friday afternoon here in Las Vegas. Everyone keep that in mind when we're talking to the horticultural experts. So it folks, like Ben was saying, not only the superb engineering, the brains, the execution of it properly, but they were smart enough to bring in actual growers, people who have been in the trenches, run the lights before. And in fact, when I bought my A3Is, you might have seen my homie here, Jared, and I said, Jared, want to see these things in action? We went and saw Mike. Let's step out here, you guys. Let's chat in the open air thing before we go blaze these big Congos. So, Mike Howard, tell me, where did you used to be the master grower?
So I was the lead grower at the Grove in Las Vegas previously, a few years back.
The Grove.
Yep.
And that was a tiered operation, wasn't it?
Yes, they were originally built out in 2016. They were some of the first people, crazy enough, to go full LED on a commercial scale in a multi-tier environment. So they went double and triple tier.
Oh, shit.
So I was, I took the reins of a facility and didn't have much people to reach out to. Similar to how you use aquaponics and you're kind of at the forefront of doing it. Yeah. There wasn't many people to kind of bounce ideas off back in the day because...
Well, we're aeroponics.
Aeroponics.
What did I say?
You said aqua.
Fuck me.
Say it again.
At the forefront of aeroponics.
Yeah, so it's similar to how you guys run aeroponics at your facility. You're kind of at the forefront.
For sure.
When you're running technology that's new and it's, you know, you're running it in a way that really no one else is running it, it's interesting. You don't have many people to bounce ideas.
That's right. That's why these growers are very incredibly resourceful, versatile, MacGyver type of people. Because again, you're kind of paving a way, aren't you? You're coming into some situation and you're asked to fix it. You're saying we need an improvement here. We don't know what's going on. You're the guy to turn into. So I remember when I toured that facility with Jer, a lot of those old purple LEDs, right?
Yeah.
And so you ripped those out and you put in, what did you put in there?
Yeah, so we started doing a trial with folks back in 2017 or 2018. We originally replaced some of the old purple lights with some F1Vs and just did a trial, same room, same cultivar, side by side, and just ran it, you know, pretty much.
A 600 equal, F1V? Right?
We had 1,000.
1,000.
Yeah, so our rack rooms, we have about 8 feet within our tiers. So
it's
enough space to really have a powerful light and get some good quality production in that space.
Yeah, and so let's talk about the changes that you implemented there. Once done, how happy was the boss there?
They were pretty happy, and you know, nothing happens overnight, right?
No,
so
I know.
We were transitioning systems. We went from soil, kind of bottom feed wick system, into a hydroponic system, and you know, transitioning a soil grow over takes some time, especially when you have multi-tiers, just because that just exacerbates all the issues that typically arise on a single tier. So it took some time, but after a while, everything got kind of turning, and we definitely were putting out some good flower, high yields, good quality. So
Jeremy, come on over here and say, I want to talk a little bit about my really good friend, Jeremy Yunus. Again, a cultivator from way back in the day. This guy and I met, in Mexico at some Secrets Resort and had some drinks and were lifelong friends ever since.
That's a good elevator, 30 seconds.
Sure. That's the short version. There's elevator a lot more to it, and maybe that's episode 2 or 3. But, again, being completely aligned in terms of, cannabis lifestyle. Growing, knowing, smoking, we were both very much aligned. And also in our sporting, kind of our whole real, just how we live life, I would say, right?
For real.
For real. So, Jeremy, though, prefers, you were also a lead grower, a director of cultivation, but you're a Rockwool guy, yeah?
Yeah, I ran Rockwool for 22 years, probably, so far, 23. Yeah. Absolutely. It's clean. It's an easy substrate to use.
It is.
It comes pretty sterile. It's pretty consistent for the most part. And as long as you have a good irrigation strategy and the right fertigation equipment, you can be successful.
For sure. So Jeremy's been all over the world. He has clients you know, you Puerto Rico, you guys, Europe, you're all Costa over the place, Rica, dude. You're South America, Portugal, Costa Rica. Sure. So, Panama. You know, FOS is definitely a global company at this point, yeah?
We're definitely spreading our wings and getting more territory. And yeah. We're in, I don't know, 18 or 19 countries right now. So.
Yeah. That's awesome. And Jeremy gets to go to many of these countries, and he's the boots on the ground, along with Mike. They're the ones who kind of go and help some of these facilities, you know, work through what it is. They need to help them understand, why are we switching our
lights?
There's
a learning curve.
There's a learning curve.
There isn't just like growing with our traditional HPS lights. So
that's
like anything else, it's nice to not just buy something and get stuck with it. It's nice to have some guidance throughout the process, and that's what we're here for.
That's what we did with our facility. You know, when I came down, remember all those years ago, and I said, well, show me them in action. So we went and saw Mike, we went and saw those facilities, we went out to GLP, which is a living organic soil grow, doing great things out here, and crushing it with these products. So instead of just coming in this gorgeous showroom and saying, yeah, I want that light, just sell me that fucking light. You said, no, Jim, let's go talk to the growers.
Let's go see the lights in action.
Let's understand your facility. You said, send me your blueprints. I want to see your rooms. I want to see what size and shape they are. What's your headroom? You know, what's
your
goals?
Work plane? Exactly. We need to know. There's a lot of different inputs and variables that come into play when creating successful cultivation.
Damn straight it is. So realistically, again, when we said episode one of our podcast, Jen and I were discussing where to go or how to do this. Well, A, it was getting pretty cold in Canada. We said, why not Vegas? Let's go to Vegas. Who doesn't love that? Also, our lighting experts are here. We're going to go see a grow facility as well today. We're going to go check out. So I think it's time for us to blaze now, and the rest of y'all, I hope you're blazing too. We're going to catch you on episode two, and we're going to... listen to your feedback and see what we should do on our next topic. All right? Thanks, all right, guys. Man. Thanks for having us down.
Always. Love you're you always guys. Welcome.
Thanks, Mike. And that's it for now on this episode. You guys, catch you next time. JR Strain. Peace. That went really good.
That went good.
Perfect. And I'm glad you got the band was awesome, like you said.
Yeah, I mean, I just tear mine.
Here, Mike, try. Let's see. Get one of those fuckers. Let's show them how we do it.
It's been a while since we got a toss.
Yeah, it's okay, though. We can do it probably first try. Japs, you ready?
Yep.
Okay. We got this.
This one's a little bit picky.
It's okay.
Motherfuckers.
Damn near close. Here, I'm going to underhand you. You got it?
I don't like the other hands. Like, reach around.
Those are too close. We got this one.
Right,
one more try. On the move. Ooh, that was aggressive. One more.
Oh,
that's too low.
We got some good ones, though.
I know.